This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, January 18, 2023, Feria in Epiphanytide, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Looking around about on them with anger, being grieved.
May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This passage speaks to the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. It also speaks to how we need to approach that humanity, what humanity teaches us. We can't understand what is being taught here unless we look. I mean, this is a very familiar passage, but you can get kind of lost in the miracle in and of itself. People just concentrate on the man that with his hand is restored, and kind of lose sight of the fact and almost approach it as if it's an ancillary thing as to this discourse that our Lord holds, not really a discourse because he's the one that does all the talking, in this message to the Pharisees. Because without understanding Jesus' message, you really don't understand the force and the understanding of humanity that speaks to our own makeup, and that is to do with anger and grief or sorrow. The message that our Lord, let's go to that first, because again, we don't want to lose sight of fact what our Lord is teaching here. He asks a question to them. I mean, he knows what they're thinking, but he asks a question. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? He's posing a question. Is it lawful to do anything on the Sabbath? Because you got to understand the mindset of the Jew, the Pharisee. And I mean, it is nothing that escapes our own day and age. Is it lawful to do anything on the Sabbath? Because the Hasidim, the very Orthodox Jews, they don't do anything on the Sabbath. You're not allowed to turn on lights on the Sabbath. You're not allowed to cook. You can't do anything on the Sabbath. But when you say that, all of a sudden your life becomes an inconsistency, because they are so hot and bothered about not doing anything on the Sabbath that they feel licensed to go out and throw rocks at the cars of people driving by. If you're not allowed to turn on a light in your house because it's the Sabbath, you can't do anything, how can you go out to pick up rocks, wait for cars to come by, throw rocks at people? They do this. YouTube it. Fun to watch. I mean, because it shows an inconsistency. There's an inconsistency if you say, you can't do anything on the Sabbath. Our Lord, well, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Or is it lawful to do evil? I mean, the Jews have already been confronted with this whole Sabbath thing years and years and years ago, you know, with the Maccabees. They said, it's the Sabbath, and they come under military attack during the Sabbath. And because it's the Sabbath, they don't fight back. Go figure what happens. They lost scores of people. They were like, oh, wow, that didn't work out too well. So the next time it happens, we'll fight on the Sabbath. Yeah. Yeah, because it's a work of necessity. And so, you know, they're already struggling with this thing. But our Lord throws this out. Is it lawful to do good or to do bad? Just not to do good things? Just not to do bad things? What's lawful? What's not? What happens? Just like always when they're trying to trip up Jesus, they can't say anything. They don't know an answer, okay? They don't have one. Put out your hand. He cures him. The message of not only what he says, because notice he doesn't say, here, let me explain the Sabbath thing to you. Jesus as being Jesus, it's not a matter of he teaching by speaking. He teaches by actions. He asks them a question they can't answer. Put out your hand. And he puts out his hand. There's no big ritual, anything. He told him to put out his hand, and his hand is just restored. Okay? This is the miracle where you would get very myopic and focus on that like a laser beam and miss the whole lesson. The lesson is, if you don't do good on the Sabbath, you do an injury on the Sabbath. Hence his question, is it lawful to do good or to do evil on a Sabbath? Either one? Well, he proves that if you don't do good on the Sabbath, you do an injury. If someone's hurt and you don't help them, you facilitate their being injured. He takes it to the next level. You know, is it to save life or to destroy life? You know, oh, little kid, you're drowning in the pond. I'd really like to run in and get you, but it's the Sabbath. No one would do that. Not even they, I don't think, would do that. Okay, so they would get it because if you don't go and save the kid's life, you might as well have pushed his head under the water. This is that whole Ten Commandments thing. Actually, there's 20 commandments. If it's a thou shalt, on the other side of that coin, you shall not. If it's a thou shalt not, you on the other side of the coin, you shall. You shall honor your father and mother. You shall. That means you don't dishonor your father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. That means you will preserve life. You are called to do it, or you are guilty of that commandment. So this is the point that Jesus is making. And he doesn't do it by words. He does it by his actions. If Christ had not healed this man, him being able to do it because he's God, if he had not healed this man, he would have sinned. This is his message. If I hadn't have done this and I'm able to do it, not only am, you know, I giving you a display of who I am, but if I hadn't done it, I would be in sin. He's answering that question. Is it okay to do good on the Sabbath? Yes, it is. Because if I don't do good on the Sabbath and I am able, it's an evil. That's the message. The Sabbath is more honored by doing good things on the Sabbath than it is just for because it's the Sabbath. I always throw out a lot. Homilies, Bible studies. If you're on your way to Mass on Sunday, yeah, I got my Mass obligation. I got to get to Mass. And you pass by and there is some elderly lady with a flat tire with her trunk open and she's crying because she doesn't know. And you don't stop to help her. And you go, well, I couldn't help her because I had to get to Mass. Beeline to the confessional because you committed a grave sin. Okay, because you put something over doing good on the Lord's day. You passed up the opportunity to evangelize. Maybe she's not a Catholic. Maybe she is, but even if she is, you're showing that you are willing to help her. And you didn't know whether she was or not. And if she's not a Catholic, what a feather in your cap for that. Because you're probably going to say, thank you. It's done for the good of the Lord. This is the Lord's day. It is really important that we do good things. There you go. So it is very, very important to do good on the Sabbath, as opposed to just sit back and abstractly honor it or subjectively honoring it. We need to do as best we can on the Sabbath. It is the Lord's day, not his half hour, 45 minutes in most places. It's his day, and we need to honor that. This is the message. But this is where we get into what when he asks those questions and they don't answer, because these are supposed to be the theologians of Israel. These are the Pharisees. These are the go-to guys when it comes to things. And they couldn't even utter a word. They didn't have a little debate about this or anything. They just didn't speak. And it says, the Lord looked round about on them with anger, being grieved. I'm actually going to use this incident as a illustration as we go through this. A couple years ago, somebody from this parish visited another parish and came back and told me that this passage was read, and Father spent his entire time as a homily explaining why Jesus wasn't really angry. Wrong, Father. Absolutely wrong. And I said, I'm going to use this as an illustration because why was Jesus angry? He was angry due to the Pharisees' blindness to what the Sabbath was all about. Their blindness to the truth of doing good on the Sabbath actually honors more than just sitting back and subjectively honoring it. Their obstinance in him asking them a question, them not answering him, and their perverse approach, their perverse interpretation. We use that word perverse and it has connotations in our day and all. Perverse means twisted, turned the wrong way, askewed. They had a perverse interpretation of what the Sabbath was all about, and it angered Jesus. He was angry. Using Father as an example, his blindness to what the Word of God actually says. Here he read it, but then he's going to say that it doesn't say what it means. So he's blind to the Word of God. He's obstinate in what all the church fathers have spoken about this particular passage. And he has a perverse idea of the humanity of Christ. Jesus is just merciful and he's just merciful and gracious, so he could never be angry. Wrong. That would be a person, a being that did not have human affections. Anger is a human affection. Now, generally, when it manifests itself, it's sinful. Well, how could Jesus be good? Whenever you're angry, it's a sin. No, not ever when you're angry is it a sin. It is how you manifest it. And what's the reason for it in the first place? That is the question. Because Jesus was angry because of what he was confronted with. You got to really define anger. Most of us have anger, sin. If you have a definition like Aristotle, a very secular definition of anger, the desire to inflict punishment on an adversary. You're angry with something. I'm so angry, I'll punch you right in the head. It gets worse than that. I'll shoot you. All this kind of stuff. That's anger from a secular standpoint. And it is sinful to approach like that. Gregory of Nyssa he Christians it up a little bit. He says that anger is a frustration of desire. That's more in tune, right? Because you're angry because you desire something to be different way. It's actually in our Lord's case when he exhibits this affection of being angry. He exhibits it the way we do not generally. Generally, when we do it, when we get really angry about something, we start to lose self-control. We start to approach things unreasonably. Okay, you don't reason. I'm angry. What am I going to do about it? What do we generally do? Lash out, curse, worse. That's how wars start. How people get murdered is being angry when it's uncontrolled. When our Lord Jesus Christ is angry, which he is, because that's what the Holy Spirit lets us know, he's angered. But his anger is not corrupted by the fall like we are. Our Lord Jesus Christ was anger. He was angered, but his anger was under control and it was subject to sinless reason. Yes, he was very, very upset and angered of their blindness, obstinance, and perversity. But he did not desire vengeance on them. He's God. He could do all kind of really nasty things to people, but he didn't. Yeah, he had this anger within himself, but it was controlled. He did not lash out. He didn't curse them. He didn't tell them how, and he does occasionally as time goes on, tell them how blind they are and how he doesn't say a word to them. He just heals the man and goes about his business. Yeah, he was angry. But, it doesn't just say he was angry with them. He said he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved. Why was he angry? Because he was grieved. He was grieved. He was sorrowful over their blindness, their obstinacy, and their perversity. He was grieved over this. Sorrow is always mixed with anger. In our unreasonable, fallen, sin-cursed way, and in our uncontrolled manifestation of it, we don't ever understand really that, why I'm angry, I want to do it, because you're not getting what you want. Things aren't going your way, somebody's offended you, you sorrow over that, you grieve over that, you just react to it the wrong way. Sorrow is always mixed with anger. We just don't see it because we get, you've heard the term blind rage. Because we don't pay attention to what we're doing or saying when we're overcome by emotions, when we don't have self-control, or when we don't use proper reason. So our Lord, he was able to do this because he understood all that. He was angry because he was grieved at all these bad characteristics that he's seeing and the people that are supposed to be teaching other people. When we're angry, we always have to understand, because for us, we're sin, cursed, and fallen, so we got to learn this stuff. And guess what? You can pray for your anger to go away until the cows come home. And as long as you're taking air on this side of the veil, it's not going anywhere. So you need to start praying for self-control and right reason when you get angry. This is the way we need to approach this. So when you get angry, you don't have to beeline to the confessional. Unless, of course, you've been unreasonable and cursed someone or been uncharitable and, you know, let it be manifest to them, then, yeah. But once you start to add the characteristics that our Lord did when he was angry, then it's not wrong to feel that way. You know, that priest, you know, I said, I'm going to use an example. You know, all those things, I said, yeah, he exhibited every one of those pharisaical negative traits, every single one of them. And when I heard that, I'll be the first one. I'll stand up here before the tabernacle. I got angry. And I think about it to this day. And guess what? I still get angry. It ain't going anywhere. But I didn't call Father and say, hey, you know what? You're a real idiot. You know, what what are you, blind? What are you, No. I'm going to say that. I'm not going to do it. Try to use a little bit of self-control. I'm not really good at it, but I'm trying. Plus, I wasn't there. I didn't hear it myself. So it's kind of third party. So kind of a little bit easier for me. But I am still to this day angry until I, you know, as long as I'm cognizant and I'm taking an air, I'll always be angry about it. Because it's a demonstration of badness that's still around us. Person is supposed to be serving our Lord in the clerical state doesn't get it. It's like Jesus taught us a lesson 2,000 years ago, guy, and you didn't learn it. And plus, it's really bad because when you teach people that, although, you know, anytime you feel angry, it is a sin. It's not. And then you got people running around being like a confessional and they just don't feel good about something. And it's not necessary. You know, that priest, he's just an individual manifestation of what's going on in the church right now. The things that are taking place in the church. It's because all of those pharisaical negative traits. There are a lot of people in very high place in the church that are blind to the truth of God's word, blind to the apostolic faith. They are obstinate when they're confronted with that, and they have a perverse presentation of the faith. I mean, we see it every single day, and from what I understand, it's getting ready to get worse. But I've been saying that for a couple years now. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Should we be angry about that? Unequivocally, yes, you should be angry. But why? Because you sorrow because God is being denigrated. You got people pushing things down your throat that are less reverent to God, liturgically, for instance. You know, we're going to cram this less reverent liturgy down your throat. You're not allowed to do your more reverent liturgy. That's the bottom line. Should that make you angry? Yes, it should. But why? Because you sorrow because God is not being revered, not because some guy somewhere on another continent doesn't get it. Okay? This is the reality of things. Should we be angry? Yeah. Should we sorrow? Yeah. We should use self-control and right reason as to how we deal with this. So, we should absolutely be angry, but as a result of sorrow for the blindness, obstinance, and perversity of those that offend God. If we do that, again, praying hard, and I would actually say you need to ratchet up your prayers. Ratchet up your prayers for right reason and self-control for the times that are coming. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.